enough.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's Village Board meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Oh,
yeah. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome on this beautiful evening. Are we on? We're good? Okay. Okie doke. We'll call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrick is excused. Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
One modification to tonight's agenda, the police service contract discussion will need to be postponed. I wonder if it's the phone. The police contract discussion will need to be postponed. It's still in the hands of the sheriff. Correct? Are there any other modifications to the agenda? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to modify the agenda as modified. Did I say accept the agenda as modified?
You just did, yes.
Thank you.
I'll accept the motion to be modified by the motion to be modified.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We're off to a great start. Announcements.
Got it.
There is no primary election February 19th for the Village of Alloway. So don't worry about voting until the general. There is a statewide public forum series to create a new Wisconsin History Museum, the meeting was postponed from January 31st to February 12th due to weather. If you would like more information, I'm guessing you can go to the Neville Public Museum's website, but it starts at 5:30 p.m. They have doors open, light refreshments, welcome and introduction to the new museum project, and then at 6:30, share your feedback on a new statewide history museum. It's open to the public and free. It's at the Neville Museum on Thursday, January 31st, starting at 5:30. NeighborWorks Green Bay and Trinity Lutheran Church ELCA are again partnering to provide free home maintenance and repair activities to people in need during the week of June 23rd or 29th. They are happy to accept volunteers and to include volunteers in this. So if you'd like to get more information, or if you know someone who is elderly or low to moderate income or disabled and needs some help around the home, please go to www.nwgreenbay.org. Applications for homes are due March 29th. Are there any other announcements from the board? Any other announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 4. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue, former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Fed Committee. I'm concerned that the stadium tax refund money wasn't spent for what it was supposed to be spent for. It was supposed to be spent for, in part, for making safe pedestrian crossings across Riverside Drive to get people to the Fox River Trail. We have West St. Joseph, which is being reconstructed right now, and Elway Avenue are two sites that were identified in the corridor study and as part of the comprehensive plan, where crossings should have been put in or were designated as good potential locations, and those were not put in now. And currently, there are four major projects in various stages of planning between those two streets in the TID district. Those four projects, I'm sure some of them will be asking for probably between $2 and $3 million in TID money, and if the village is going to be funding private ventures with TID money, we should be able to get a sidewalk down to the trail from Riverside Drive. Right now there's no public access. People have to trespass and go across private property there. So there's up to four active developments within a one-block area right on the river, and I'm sure they're going to be asking the village board for TID money, and they're going to probably ask for somewhere between $2 and $3 million, and for that kind of money we should be able to get access to the Fox River Trail. And then finally, last year the cost of West St. Joseph Street reconstruction was going to be $200,000. The resurfacing was going to be $200,000, and that had been on the 5 years that had been on the capital improvement plan for quite a while. I saw it at a number of meetings, and that went from $200,000 to over $900,000, and they went from a resurfacing to a complete rebuild of that, which inflated the cost of over $700,000. So I'd like to find out why it was changed from simply a resurfacing to a complete rebuild, and if that had anything to do with the increased demands on the infrastructure from the old Chapel Hill apartment complex. The street was redesigned to give them some parking because they don't have enough parking on their site. They put too many units in a too small of a space, and they don't have the required parking per our code. So they now have a shortage of parking, and the village is going to go ahead and build some parking in front of their space. So tandem parking is not legal parking in our code. You must have access to a driveway. You can't, 25 or 50 tandem spaces are not legal spaces. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we'll close public appearances. And I feel compelled to at least address some of your issues, Mr. O'Rourke. If someone has an issue with the village, I welcome them to come and talk to us. And when they're corrected or when they get the correct information, I ask them not to use the same wrong statements. The statements that Mr. O'Rourke has already been educated on is that the safe crossing or the stadium tax refund money, it's used exactly what we decided to use it for until the state came and offered us money to help with the Southern Riverside Drive crossing. There was never a plan from the state, and the state owns the highway, and there was never a plan to provide crossings at St. Joseph or Alloway Avenue in any short period of time. They were going to look at that if they're going to reconstruct the roadway, and they're not reconstructing the roadway right now, so their plan is not to look at it, although we've talked at these meetings saying we're happy to engage with the state and carry on those conversations and see if we can make that happen. And I think that's something we should do. Cost of St. Joseph, Mr. O'Rourke came to a public works meeting a couple of meetings ago and brought up that problem. He was corrected by our director of public works saying that it was not a $200,000 project, it was a $400,000 project, to which Mr. O'Rourke replied, well, that was hard to understand or read. But he was corrected at our last village board meeting. He came and said the same thing. So just to be clear, the plan for the resurfacing was to be $400,000, not $200,000. The reason for going to a reconstruct versus a resurfacing is because the roadway is in disrepair, as Mr. O'Rourke has brought to our attention many times. So our Director of Public Works felt it was justified to completely reconstruct the roadway. That'll be enough for now. We'll move on to item number 6, action regarding the village park and facility naming policy. Mr. Clerk.
At the last meeting, we talked in length about this proposed policy, draft policy for naming of public properties, parks, and the potential for having naming rights and getting revenue from corporate sponsorships and things such as that. The board provided some changes that they'd like to see, so the second draft that's attached with your packet, those changes are in red. I believe I covered them all. So if there's any questions with those, or if we need to do any more revisions.
Any questions for Chris? We will accept the motion on this item. Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Okay. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? I believe you did capture all of the changes, so thank you very much. We have any discussion?
Good job.
Good job. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7, action regarding temporary sponsorship signage in village parks policy. Mr. Clark.
Pretty much the same thing with this policy. This was a policy for to govern the installation of temporary sponsorship signage, you know, by sport groups as a revenue generator. Again, the second draft is attached with the revisions in red.
One question I do have, Chris.
Yes.
Is on page 2 of 2 under number 12, revenues from sponsorship signage or banners for facility park capital improvements shall be directed and held by the Village of Alloway. Revenues for village affiliated organizational operating expenses shall be directed to and held by the organization. So we will have opportunities for both the organization and or the village.
Correct.
To realize revenue from this.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Okay. Do I have a motion or any questions for Chris? Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris?
Move to approve the policy.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Sampson. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 8, petition from McDonald's USA LLC requesting preliminary approval of a planned development district to renovate the existing drive-through restaurant on parcel AL50-8 located at 1903 South Webster Avenue. We have a guest who is going to be joining us via phone tonight, who is the representative for McDonald's.
Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, this is Trevor. All right, I'm going to put you on. All right, Kevin, can you hear us?
Can hear you, Trevor.
All right.
Hi, Kevin, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks for joining us tonight. I hear you're having some snow tonight.
Yeah, more than we thought.
Yeah, it's coming this way. Okay, Trevor, do you want to kick this off?
Sure, as is explained in your packet, this is a PDD for the reasons because property is an existing non-conforming use. We do not allow drive-through restaurants in our commercial zoning code. And so given the option between a rezone and a PDD, and McDonald's went through the PDD, this is because the improvements they intend to make to the facility will exceed the 50% threshold that's defined in our ordinance for existing non-conforming use. So the footprint of the building is going to stay the same. It's really just a reface of the existing building, similar to what you've seen throughout the greater Green Bay area with the other McDonald's. Planning Commission reviewed last night. They only had a few comments. They were about a long-term lease. McDonald's is not the property owner. They actually have a long-term lease with the diocese for the property. They talked about bicycle racks after construction. Green space was brought up, as well as the corridor study and other previous studies. And then they did ask if this was originally a PDD or if it was done prior to our current zoning code. I didn't have a chance to look that up this today, so I couldn't answer that. But.
And how would that impact the decision?
I don't think it would. I think it would just be information.
Steve, do you want to add anything?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. And in terms of the long-term lease, that was just a discussion, right? That's just fact.
Right.
How about bicycle and green space?
There's a comment because I think in the memo it says green space is adequate, and the question came up is where is the green space? And the green space is the rear of the building. Back behind the parking lot, there's that slope that goes downhill that is part of the property, so that's a chunk of the green space there. So if you can see right here on the picture, they have some stormwater drainage that goes back there. And then the bike rack that's there currently is, a lot of bicycle enthusiasts don't particularly care for those types because they don't offer a two-point, a way to lock your bike at 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the preferred newer bike rack is an inverted U, or it's a different shape that allows for that 2 points of connection, one at the tire and one at the frame.
Okay. And then there's going to be a change to the parking?
No, the parking should stay the same. However, there should be an established easement agreement between this property and the adjoining property. So if you might not be able to tell on the site plans provided, but this space here to the the southwest of the site is actually owned by the property owner that owns the Gallagher's strip mall area. And so McDonald's uses that for ingress egress for their drive-through, as well as parking. And so there should be something established when this is before this is finally approved, or something that's shown to the village that there's something established that allows for that cross traffic and that shared parking.
speaking with McDonald's, they said that there is something established. There is working through their legal department's working through making sure everything's up to date and everything. They shouldn't be an issue.
So they have an easement for not only ingress egress but also parking.
I believe so. And Kevin might be able to answer that better. I will pull it up on the aerial. It might be easier to see and explain. So if you can see right here is the property line, which adjoins to this. And then they have the existing traffic that goes through, as well as some of their designated parking.
Trevor, how close to the building is the property line?
I can measure that real quick. It might show on the site plan, too. About 6 feet, maybe. Kevin,
do you know how far the building is from the property line?
I believe it is between 11 and 12 feet.
Okay. And what kind of easement is in place between you and the other property owner?
I don't know the official title of the easement since I haven't seen it, but it does provide for use of the parking spaces as well as the ingress egress and handicap parking spaces, and I believe it grants them the allowance to use it for the walkways and things like that. But until we haven't gotten the easement from the adjacent property that owns that area yet, and we're working on it.
Okay, so there is not an easement in place right now, or you're working on it?
There is an easement in place. It just hasn't been provided to McDonald's and therefore me at Landform.
Okay.
It's still in the owner still has the copy of it, and we're just working to get that from them.
Okay. Okay. Are there any elevation examples?
Nothing was provided at this. Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
Kevin, go on.
Yep. We do have elevations ready now. We did not when we initially submitted, so we were going to include those as part of the next set of drawings for submittal.
Okay.
Kevin, would you know if that lease with the diocese and the easement coincide in length of terms?
I don't know the answer to that until I see what the easement looks like and the lease as well.
Mm-hmm. Originally, when that store would have been opened, wouldn't they have the easement in hand?
In a perfect world, yes. Mm-hmm. It probably was overlooked when they initially got the lease for the property, and so they're following up with it now.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions from the board? Trustee Harris? Were there any issues with regard to the sidewalk width when the reconstruction of Webster Avenue takes place, in terms of widening or moving the sidewalk further east? Were there any issues with regard to that brought up, or any that we need to take into account?
There should be adequate width, with the exception of maybe these two parking stalls to the west part of the property.
Okay, so nothing, no permanent structure, or not necessarily permanent, nothing is, but...
Right, they do have their existing pylon sign there, which Kevin has informed me that they're not planning on touching or changing. So.
Okay. Okay, I'm just thinking, you know, when we get to the Webster Avenue point, just to make sure that we will have that capability of widening or slightly moving if we need to.
Okay. And have the staff recommendations been provided to McDonald's?
Yes.
Okay. Kevin, do you have any issues for the zoning department staff recommendations?
Trevor and I chatted couple days ago, and we just went over a couple of them. There's no issues for McDonald's. Just I was asking for some clarification on what each of the conditions was meant to be towards.
Okay, so you don't know if there are issues or not at this point?
Just little, we'll look at signage with the next submittal. That was one outstanding question. And then also the comments on the building finishes we'll address with the next submittal when we submit the elevations as well. But all of the other comments were fine with McDonald's.
Okay. That was a question I had. Oh, on page 3.1b, there's something in here about fitting in with our comprehensive plan. And I know this is not necessarily part of this discussion, but has any discussion taken place regarding the vision we had created for Webster Avenue for the neighboring property and for that stretch? And is McDonald's aware of that?
Trevor did pass along the, I forget what the exact name was, but the concept plan that had been approved or adopted.
Yep.
So I'm aware of it and noted that McDonald's, it doesn't show McDonald's existing on the current site.
Yep.
So we are aware of it, and that's why we're trying to make as many pedestrian connections as we can and make. We're making limited improvements to the site.
Mm-hmm.
So I have had the talk or the chat with Trevor about it.
Okay. And that was just a vision, right, and a concept, and McDonald's is a good business for people in LA, and people like it. We're not suggesting you leave, believe me. But I wanted to make sure that McDonald's was aware of what we're trying to do and to see if there were any discussions around the McDonald's house to look into potentially incorporating into that kind of a development.
Could the easement possibly be a problem in the future if the easement is parking for McDonald's and something else happens with the property? Will that limit the people that own the property adjacent of what they're able to do?
Do you have the answer to that, Trevor?
It may. I mean, depending on what's proposed for that site, I mean,
okay.
I'd say, though, that the drive easement would definitely be necessary to keep the tunnels there. I think if an easement were provided with a, maybe an exhibit showing where that easement was, then, you know, that might provide more information too.
Yeah, I just think it's something we have to be cautious about for the future use of the area. Does McDonald's on its own have enough parking spaces for the facility? And I don't know what the ratio is for seats to, but it sure seems like there's not a lot of parking there.
They have quite a bit in the back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, further down, and nobody really uses it ever.
Yep.
But it's there.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Kevin has a specific number that they themselves as a business are looking for.
Kevin, do you know how many parking spaces McDonald's is looking for and how many you have on your actual property?
For the actual property, I believe, let me just see real quick, I believe it's 49 on the actual property, and that's well within the range of what McDonald's would normally have on a site for a building this size.
Okay. Okay. So the, and I'm not putting words into anyone's mouth, but the important part of that easement is the ingress egress, I'm guessing. Is that true, Kevin?
Yes. The access is crucial there for the drive-through to work and function properly.
Okay. And there's no change to the ingress egress. There's not going to be, and I've driven through the drive-throughs, so to exit, you still come around the front of the building. You're not going to go straight out to Webster.
Right now,
can't
go
straight
out.
Is it?
So right now we have two accesses, and we're proposing to keep the same two. So it'll be ingress from that access even point and egress out of that point, and then just to the north, that access is striped as a right turn only onto Webster Avenue.
Okay. I stand corrected. Okay, thank you. Trustee Atwood?
No, we're good.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions for Trevor or Kevin?
Just one more on the ingress egress. Will the location, the second, the more northerly ingress egress, I know it's striped to be a right turn only to exit the property and go on to Webster. Does it also allow for ingress off of Webster onto the McDonald's property?
No, it does not.
Okay, it does not currently, or it will not, or both?
Both.
Okay, thank you. Just want to get clarification.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin, is there anything you want to share with the board?
No, I was just here to answer any questions as they came up.
Okay. Okay. I have one last question, and that is, what is the time frame for all of this?
It depends a little on the timing of the easement and when we get that, because we're trying to, or we need to have that before we submit for the next, the final PDD submittal.
Okay.
So that's a crucial piece that we have to get before we submit. But I know that their desired timeline is to be under construction in the summer.
Okay. And do you know who is negotiating the easement from McDonald's perspective?
It's one of their real estate property managers.
Okay. And they would be in Chicago?
I actually don't know where they're based out of. They have a lot of offices and they frequently change.
Okay.
Where?
Okay. Okay, and Trevor, from the village's perspective, what's the timeline for and the process for the rest of the PDD?
I think from here they could, the earliest they could be back on the planning commission in a couple weeks, on the 25th, I believe. That'd be the earliest, assuming they had everything they needed. From there, then we would have to schedule a public hearing. So then it'd be 15 days, I think, out from that. So I think we're looking at the first meeting in April would be the soonest it'd come back to the board.
Okay.
From your perspective, Trevor, do you see any problem working with the property owners due to the fact that we know they're going through some changes themselves, and there's been problems with who's in charge. I mean, that could hold things up for them, too.
I haven't spoken specifically with the diocese on this particular project.
Not the diocese, the neighboring...
Oh, the neighboring property owners.
Right, because of the situation with that property. The property, if it's Monaco, is it not?
Yes, yeah. I've had discussions with Mr. Monaco. He seems to be supportive.
Which Mr. Monaco?
Oh, sorry, this Mark, the son.
Oh, I just remember that we've had issues because of the debt in the family and who's in charge and what's going on over there, and I didn't know if some of that's gotten straightened out.
It
hasn't. But somebody...
There's a lot of children involved. I don't mean children in a demeaning way.
No, I know.
Harry's kids, so...
Okay. And Trustee Dart, you bring up a good point. Just because... And Kevin, this is for you as well. We have a vision for that area. McDonald's is, of course, part of that. And with McDonald's looking at making some changes, I personally just wonder if there's an opportunity to sit down with, whether it be the owner of the franchise or someone at McDonald's, to just walk through this whole thing and talk through it. Do you think that's an opportunity? And if so, who would we talk to?
I would have to check in and see who the best person would be to do that. I can certainly keep in touch with Trevor and pass along that information to him so that you guys can get it. I don't know off the top of my head who the franchisee owner is or if they would be the best person for you to touch base with.
Okay. Okay. Well, I would encourage that just because that way everyone knows what everyone's hoping to do and who knows what could come of that. Any other discussion? So we're being asked to give preliminary approval. Okay. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Atwood.
I would move to approve. Preliminary.
I speak.
I have a motion... Or request from the floor, motion to suspend.
Well, no, I was going to second
first,
and then we can suspend.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve. A second, I would suggest that we do it. We approve it based on staff recommendations. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Okay. Any discussion? Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? There's a request from the audience. Trustee Harris, do I have a second?
Sure.
Trustee Sampson, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up, Jim.
2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was at the Planning Commission yesterday, and the 100-year lease item was with regards to the Somerville streetscape plan that was put out by the village last year in 2018 that called for the removal of the McDonald's and putting in an amphitheater there. I don't think that that's a good idea to replace a viable commercial building with a park. There's other land in the village if you wanted to have an amphitheater, but the current plan for the Somerville streetscape plan to knock down McDonald's and put in a amphitheater called the Village Green. That plan should be changed, and I would like to see the village go ahead and come out strong in saying that they're not going to go ahead and turn that into a park. So we discussed that at the meeting last night, and that's what you guys have been talking about without specifically calling it the Village Green.
and the amphitheater, but that's what you guys have been talking about. So the Somerville plan should be changed to reflect that McDonald's should not be torn down. McDonald's is a great commercial tenant, and I'd like to see them stay. Thanks.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to pick up the rules? So, Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Thank you.
Aye.
We have a opposed. Okay, motion passes.
I'm sorry.
No, we're all.
Oh.
I forgot to ask if there were any opposed. Okay, we have a motion to accept or to approve with the staff recommendations. And a second, any further discussion?
I do. And just a clarification on that. For somebody who's relatively new to it, that visioning exercise, it may have had an amphitheater or a park area in that general area, but it does not specify that it's got to be on that lot. Is that the nature of that plan?
Nor
the
drawing, that documented directive.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That it would have moved McDonald's somewhere, that vision that was created. But that was the vision of an architect, right?
Right.
So...
Or if another opportunity next door had presented itself, you could be flexible and in that area.
Yeah. The main thing was that people want a green space to visit with, a band shell is neat, there's a restaurant, that sort of thing.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you all.
Have a good night.
You too.
Action item number 9, approval of NWTC corporate training contract for services continuous improvement program. Exciting. Mr. Lane.
Excuse me. This is a follow-up. From budget discussion, as we approached the village board during this budget about looking at our services and processes in our operations to come up with more efficiencies. Some of the staff has had some of the training. Chris, Julie. Been part of some of this training, but looking at having someone to help direct it so it's done without, because much better than what we could probably be bringing. You're bringing in some outside eyes to help lead us through the discussion. So our recommendation would be to contract with NWC Corporate Training and start the process in March. And it's just the beginning because we'll pick up a project, walk through that project using the methods that they are teaching, and then be able to move that forward with other processes and operations that we do.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Brad? I will accept a motion on this item. Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? I find myself commending our staff frequently on their fiscal responsibility and the great job that they do, and this is taking it yet one step further. And incorporating continuous improvement and having that mindset at the village is a tremendous thing, and I thank you for taking it to that next level. We have a motion. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Good work. We will take item number 10A through C if there's no objection. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 11, report regarding parking and storage of trailers, recreational vehicles, and camping equipment. Mr. Law.
You all have the notes I had in your packet.
help. So I'll sort of run through this very quick. Just the part of the information I needed for myself also is I looked up the ordinance, and as far back as I could go was 2007 when this was first brought up to the board. I did find out later it was from a complaint from a resident of the village that started it. From 2007, it ran through quite a few times, and it came through the board, different changes, different ideas, different questions. But November 20th of 2012, they actually adopted the ordinance and started. After that, former code enforcement officer Mark Roberts came to the board and asked how to get a feeling of how he wanted him to enforce this code and others. And it was about the same as when I asked last year. And it came down to the proactive plus education plus common sense. It seemed to work out. I believe for a while it was sort of put on the back burner and wasn't enforced as it should be, but again, you guys, the board has asked that I go back into it. So this year, after the fact that the ordinance starts November 15th, I waited until the end of November, went around the village, and ended up with 22 residents that were in violation of both campers and boats. I sent out 22 letters. I received 5 comments back. Two of them pretty much pertain to health issues. People were having cancer, had problems, could not get the vehicles moved this year. Of course, they were told, don't worry about it. Find where it's at. We'll address this next year as things get better. We had another gentleman that had 2 unexpected deaths in his family within a couple months, elderly gentleman, and he also was given permission to leave it, and we would come back to this again next year. Second one was a gentleman that was in here last meeting, and his concern was the fact that he was leaving, and they go out every year. It didn't sound reasonable to make this gentleman move his camper for a month and a half, and redo all the batteries and everything. So again, that was a decision that was decided that he can keep it where it was for the fact that they weren't going to be camping and keeping it there all year long. The final one of the gentlemen just did not approve of the ordinance, and that's what we sort of came down to. And that one was more than just the boat. That was a decision with the other vehicles in the backyard, plus the boat, which is totally under 2 different ordinances that we had.
So that's also the gentleman who came to our village board meeting?
Correct.
So he has a boat and other vehicles in the back?
He had a boat and a truck in the backyard, yes. Now, he did take the truck out. And again, after the last meeting, we held off on making him remove the boat until we decide what the board wants.
Okay.
Through all that, I came up with a couple of questions and some wording going through the ordinance. In the ordinance, we have down there for hard services, patio blocks. I spoke with our building inspector, and he states that there would be no patio blocks that would be thick enough to constitute hard surface for the weight of boats and campers. So we ask that that be considered to be removed from the ordinance, so that people aren't saying, well, you told me I put patio blocks out there. Well, unfortunately, you can't. The tent issue in the same ordinance is in the definitions, but has never been moved down to the actual 318 section where it's under any type of enforcement, where we can actually tell the people that you are violating this ordinance on using the tents for storage and things like that. So that sort of has to be brought down into the main section of the ordinance. Another thing we have a problem with, not only in this ordinance, but in a couple other ones, is we continue to define temporary time. I went around the office and I asked seven people what they meant by temporary time, and I got seven different answers. It needs to be now where, okay, is it 15 days? Is it 30 days? We have a period that they are allowed to keep it. And of course, there are also, like any other ordinance, there are exceptions that will come up during it, which is to put down specific things. That's temporary time. Can be anything. Did you run any of those pictures?
Yeah.
On the pictures, if you notice, and a few of the other ones are the pop-up campers that we allow and other people allow through the winter. There's no plausible reason for them to be excluded from the ordinance like the rest of the trailers or any of the boats. They, a lot of them are just sitting in the yard, snow-covered. Some of them have articles thrown on top of them and things. And as long as we have, at this time, use all campers in the ordinance being removed, I feel that the pop-up should be addressed and put in with the rest of the recreational vehicles. The other and the last thing, Section F allows for people to use and park their campers if they are hitched to a vehicle 72 hours in front of their homes for loading, unloading, or cleaning. But if you work as outright, you can keep your camper in front of your home hitched if you use it every weekend. By the time you come back and say, well, I've got 22 hours to unload it, but now I've got 72 hours to reload it, and now we're leaving again next weekend. There should be no common cause that anybody needs more than 24 hours to unload a camper or reload it. Because these things, that most of the stuff is kept in except for the laundry, the dishes, and sometimes food in the laundry. You have the refrigerators running the whole time, so they always have stuff in it. So that's something I'd ask the board to consider and look at. The last thing, just a couple parts, is concerns if we do revise this ordinance. We have the first thing of if we change the recreational vehicles so campers can stay in the yard in the winter, then we're turning around and saying that snowmobiles can stay in the yard in the summer. You can move a wave runner or a boat. And who else said you can't put an ice shanty on your trailer and keep that next to your house the whole time? So if we're going to move one recreational vehicle, we have to consider if we're going to, or should allow all of them, because as soon as we allow the campers to do it, you know, people who have the snowmobiles and things are going to come back and say, if they can do it, why can't I do it? Watercraft we have on there, and we notice that it's stated that one vehicle per trailer. Normally, if you look at most of these trailers for these wave runners and that, they're running two. That's something that should be just considered as a normal, because it's the same as a snowmobile or anything else. You have one or two trailers, and it's just the same width, so that's something that should be considered and looked at being changed. Secondly and last, if we are going to change it, are we going to look at permits? Are we going to say, you can, if you want to permit to park your vehicle here, we have rules that have to be applied at the time. This is what you need to do to keep it here. You just can't throw a tarp over it. You can't put a boat in your side yard without a cover on it and throw your lawn chairs and everything in it for the winter. You would have to have something at least keep some type of restriction that we can say, this isn't looking good. This is making the village look bad. So those are the considerations I had and for the discussion. So if anybody has anything, questions or anything else, or any other time wants to bring them up, please do.
Thanks, Mike. Any questions or thoughts for Mike?
Lots of food for thought.
Yep.
Come back with.
Yeah, you've done a wonderful job getting things laid out, organized, the suggestions. After reading through the ordinance and then seeing yours, it opened my eyes, so thank you.
I just have one comment. When the comprehensive plan was put together, during the public discussion or public participation, the number 7 item brought up by the residents, they did a point scale as far as, I guess, the importance, and the number, or the 7th top item was storage of boats, trailers, and campers. And that's in our comprehensive plan.
Storage of, but yeah. To the negative or to the positive?
It's enforcing the ordinance of boats, campers, and trailers. Yeah. Okay. It's just interesting.
Question?
Yeah.
On a statewide level or a Brown County level, do all the municipalities kind of fall in line, or is it all over the lot? Is there any trends as far as being a little more lax or being more restrictive?
I did check into the surrounding townships and cities. Wrightstown was the only area that had pretty much the same ordinance we did. The other ones, if you see the pictures, if you look into the ordinances of these other ones, these are supposed to be literally in the winter in the backyard. That's the only place they allow them. And some, but yet none of them are being enforced to do it. So this is what you're getting when you drive around.
I'm not sure if probably like a Green Bay or a De Pere might allow you to put it in the backyard, but not the side yard. It's got to be, maybe it's got to be screened or it's got to be behind. Okay.
Your pictures are all from some neighboring
communities. Most of these.
Oh, these are now.
No, yeah, I'm sorry. These are mostly West De Pere and part of Bellevue. I got those and that was the time I didn't get to get
the ones in the side yard or that big camper or motorhome that almost looks like in the front yard is legal in that community or the.
Well, legally, if you read it, no, it's supposed to be in the backyard, but they, okay. You also notice most of those townships don't have code enforcement. They do it by complaint.
Oh, okay.
And if you drive around and look at it and get the feeling of what it looks like, I believe that's why we have people that are concerned that we keep the village looking as nice as we can.
Okay, and we're looking at a total rewrite of our ordinances, is that right?
Unfortunately, we did a recodification a couple years ago. Yeah, just like always, I mean, there's so much to it that some of it does get missed, and I would have to say part of this got missed.
Okay.
And Trustee Sampson, we're not looking to rewrite it. It came to us as a report because the gentleman came to, the two folks came and question our policy, our ordinance, so we asked Mike to take a look at.
Refreshment, what were we looking at doing a total update on? Was that building codes?
Yes.
Zoning codes.
Yep.
Okay. And this is not zoning code.
And actually on this, it was the fact that the stuff I found was just because I was going through the ordinance and checking on from the time you started. You didn't really ask me to do the bottom part, where my suggestions, the main part was out of the whole village, we had 22 that were non-compliance, and after one letter, we were down to 5.
And did the other 17, two, I'm sorry, go on.
We ended up with 2 that came to the board.
Yeah.
And that's why they asked me to come and start the discussion. Anybody wanted to come in?
Brad, if we did just do a review of all this a couple of years ago, the idea that we would be consistent or we would really wasn't part of it. The idea is Adelaide, and you have surveys that show that people really value a neat, tidy community, and it doesn't matter what the other people are doing in Adelaide. We think this has the support, and we think this is a smart policy for Adelaide.
That's how it's all designed.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
So of the 22, Mike, did the other 17 then take corrective action?
That was probably within, except the 1 or 2 that needed an extension, within 7 days.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's very good.
Yes.
Okay, any other?
I just want to say I was on the board when we were looking at this the last time. So was Lynn. As you can see from your research, it was over and over and over. And then actually Randy Gast was working on it for months. There's just no way to make everybody happy. It's just, we have a lot of small homes with small garages, and there's no place for them to put their campers. And like my house, for instance, not that I have a camper, I have a single car driveway. I mean, absolutely no place to store things. There just isn't. There's no way to even get in the back of my house. So the village isn't real friendly for that. Certainly, I don't agree with people having their stuff in the front yard. It's just a really difficult thing to work through because there's just no space, even for like a trailer where I live. You can't even have a trailer to haul yard waste. There would be no place for it. So that's difficult. And I think that's just why we keep going over it and over it. There's just some places where they can't store anything.
If I could comment on that, though, I think the solution here is kind of what's brought up maybe on the bottom of page 2 on the flip side is requiring a permit.
Yes.
To do make what? Make the homeowner have a permit to store the vehicle with under the certain criteria as laid out, you know, a cover or hard surface and all of the other criteria that goes along with it, and to apply for that permit and maybe even put a fee on it. If the trailer is 12 foot, it's $50 a year. If it's 50 foot, it's something. I don't know. I'm arbitrarily just putting a number out there. But then it allows our enforcement officers to go out and address the issue. And if there isn't a permit, it's in direct violation. But it at least allows us to make sure that those areas are clean, they're tidy, it's not just a blue tarp that's all ripped up and thrown over the top with two flat tires and two jet skis facing this way and a snowmobile on top and, you know, a snowblower on the back of it, you know, using it as a shed with no cover. I think it allows it to at least give you some guidance when you're out there doing it, because I do think that these ordinances, and this is going to be strong wording, but it's and maybe not meant as strong as it's going to sound, but, you know, we keep kicking it down the road, and we can't. We've got to come up with a solution for it, because as I drive around the community, it's gotten worse and worse. And I think Mike's doing a great job, and I think doing it this way is a great way of handling it. I like the letter first, but it's being a good neighbor in the community, yeah. So, but some of these have to be cleaned up, you know. And by cleaning them up, if we have a permit, then we know where they are. If you drive by a residence and you see that there's a trailer parked out there, and you look it up, and there's no permit on it, then it's in direct violation. It's a black and white at that point.
The concern there would be everyone could apply for a permit. And so you could have trailers and boats and everything year-round, which sure. is exactly what the
so ordinance is it all or nothing? Or is, you know, I get a lot of properties in this area, in this community, are single driveway, single, you know, stall garages. You know, those folks are probably going to have to rent a storage facility. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of them out there.
Sure. Okie doke. Any other?
Brett? I was just going to continue to do some more research on this and mull it over. Mm-hmm. Because I think it was certainly would like to get public input. If we do make any of these changes, give the public an opportunity to have some sort of feedback or communication via a survey or something along that line. So it's not something that's going to be a quick fix, because you're going to be looking at all the communities probably the same thing.
Well, and we have basically two people who aren't happy with it, or three, right?
Out of the whole village.
Out of 5,000 houses.
Well, and I don't want to be, flippant here by any, but this is 12 years. I mean, we take a lot of time in researching this. So you said it's the number 7 concern on the reports that come in. since 2007 we've been researching this. I say it's time to implement something.
Well, we did in 2013.
We did. Yeah.
In 13?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the board did at that time.
It took a long time.
I see that it said that we discussed an ordinance.
In 2013, they did pass an ordinance.
November
20,
2012.
Okay.
Go up.
Got it. Adopted. Got it.
Okay. Which, thank you, Mike.
I'm sorry, go on.
If we adopted it in 2012, why were we talking about it in March of 13?
Good question.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. We need to get it done. This is since 2007. We just need to...
Well, and just like everything else, people have a right to come and talk to us.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
And we listen and we discuss. And if we feel that changes are necessary, we have a different board now than we did back then, you know, so be it. We have a request from the floor. I'll be right with you.
I think what happened is that an ordinance was passed in 2012. After it was implemented, there were some items that were found that either weren't completely addressed or hadn't been considered, and there were some modifications made in 13 okay. to the existing one in 12. I don't know if any changes have been made since 13, and my personal recommendation at this time is for Mike to continue doing what you're doing, where you have taking a little more of a proactive approach. We contacted the 22 individuals or properties where we saw something. We addressed it. We're getting some recommendations on maybe little tweaks that we could do, and as with any ordinance, as with any plan, it can be revised, but I think we've got something in place that covers a high majority of the instances. Let's continue to enforce that the way we've tried to do over the last 6 months.
Okay. Anything else?
I just want to clarify. When I asked about what other communities, I guess I wasn't suggesting that we fall in line or follow. I'm curious, but if we hang our hat on being mainly a residential community, we're not, you know, like across the river, a lot of development, warehouse, and manufacturing, and we have more stringent, we can make that case. And I imagine you've communicated with these people. Every time somebody comes up with a complaint, I think the people who came to the board a few weeks ago, you know, the rationale for doing the things the way we do. And if as you suggest, we are a little more consistent and make it a little tougher in applying sanctions, penalties, fines, warnings, as long as that's coupled with explaining to people why we're doing it, and you've got the research, and our constituents tell us we want this, yeah, you might get a few people mad, but... I think the vast majority should appreciate that it's in everyone's best interest, and probably do already.
Okie doke. Thank you very much, Mike.
Hey. We still have a...
Oh, I'm sorry.
...citizen from the floor.
I apologize. Do I have a motion?
Move to suspend the rules.
Thank you, Trustee Sampson. Thank you, Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Come on up, Judy. I like the hat.
Judy Poe, 2375
Judy?
Riverside Drive.
Could you pull it down? Thank you.
Oh, you couldn't hear me? Just no. Like I haven't been able to hear you most of the time tonight.
Really?
Not really. The microphone over there is working really well, but this microphone is way down in pitch.
See, that's what I thought at the beginning.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a suggestion which may not be worth anything, but it might work. If you have priced a camper trailer, a house trailer, a small one, a motorboat, a fishing boat, a pontoon boat, any of this stuff lately, they are extremely expensive. And I noticed that there is an awful lot of these little storage places opening up, especially in Bellevue. There's all kinds of them, which is not that far from where we live. I would think that maybe if we could point out that the constant sitting out damages these recreational things that are very costly to replace. And if we had some kind of an idea of what the rates are on some of these places, maybe a little extra research on what it would cost per month. Maybe they park their boat in the back of the house in the summer, but during the winter months, they would put it in a storage facility just to save on the wear and tear of the equipment. And that can work two ways, seeing as how I live next to the Alloway Bus Depot. My neighbor many years ago bought a camper, and then he built a garage to fit over the camper. Consequently, you cannot see my house from Miramar Drive.
Wow.
So we refer to it as the Alloway Bus Depot, much to Charlie's disappointment. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir, come on up.
Hey, guys. Andy Bisher, 745 Simonet. First and foremost, a couple of months back, I came back to talk about some needed road repairs for a water main break that happened last year. You guys in the Public Works Department fixed that real quick, so I do appreciate that. Secondly, Mike, I was not on your list. I hope you know that. And the reason I wasn't is because I got the notification that, you know, I needed to get it out between November 15th and March, whatever it is. So I went ahead and I was planning on bringing it down to the fairgrounds anyway. So I brought it down there, you know. But I got the meeting minutes last for the January 15th, and it kind of piqued my interest because when I did buy my camper, I paid quite a bit of money to put the slab down. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, like that young lady said, is that, you know, we want to take care of our camper. But if I wanted to, I didn't find out about this lot until last year while my camper was parked there over the winter. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I wish that I had known that ahead of time, you know, before I put the slab down. Obviously, you know, we have our ordinances. They're there for a reason. I agree that, you know, we want to take care of them. But I think we should at least look at, you know, looking at benchmarking the other communities, like you said, and seeing what other communities are doing and what their ordinance is. I want a clean alleyway as well. You know, I like my neighborhood. My neighborhood is very, very nice, very clean. I want to keep it that way. And I think if we put some controls around it, you know, and say, hey, it so many feet, or, you know, it has to be on the side of the garage, this many vehicles, front yard is, you know, definitely a no-go, things like that. If we evaluate how other municipalities are doing it, I think that might be an option.
Great.
I do have a quick question. If you put a slab in, you get value out of that because in the summer or the season when you're using it, that's where you park it too.
Yeah. Right.
So it's,
you're not wrong. And really where I'm going with this is I want to keep Alloway clean, but I think, you know, we can put some controls around this where I can still park it. If I choose to park it in the winter on a slab outside my house, as long as I abide by those controls, we keep Alloway clean, and I can use my slab all year round.
Very good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Move to pick up the roads.
Thank you.
Okay.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. Action or item number 12, discussion regarding in-person absentee voting hours. I'm guessing the reason for this was Trustee Sampson had a question.
Yeah, I was just curious, and it was both after the special session lame duck move to limit early voting mm-hmm. to only 14 days or 2 weeks in advance, and that did pass, but it was invalidated by a federal court, district court judge in January, and I wondered, knowing that we have real good relationships with Senator Coles and Representative Steffen, whether we would have any kind of example to share with them, I both wanted to know what our experience has been, but also if we are any kind of outlier that our experience could inform how they approach this if it comes up again. I don't know that it will come up again because it was something that passed probably as more of a partisan thing, and both at the time of the lame duck session, one party had control of both branches and the governor. Now I suspect this is back burner, but you never know. So I had meetings or discussions with Brad to get some history, and also the other day Debbie Baden and Carrie Zitlow, and I learned something, and maybe we are kind of an outlier in that we have, you know, we won the Brown County turnout, and in this congressional election, the fall November 2018, 7,236 votes, you know, in a municipality of 16,000 people. That's a lot of votes. Was it up around 80%, 85%? And how many of those voted early? Of those 7,200, only about 4,500 did the traditional show up on election day, which means you had about 2,800, give or take, that were either mail-in absentee, where they request it by mail, and then in most cases send it in by mail. There were only about 500 out of that 7,200 that did the absentee ballot by mail, but we had 2,300 who showed up here to vote, and that's 2,300 out of 72. That's about one-third of our residents, rather than show up on election day, would rather show up here a number of weeks. And then Debbie further broke it out that of the 2,300 who wanted to come here at some time in advance, I've got that somewhere, okay. How many? 2,300, and about a quarter of those, 611, were more than 2 weeks before the November 2nd, 4th election, whatever it was. So we talked about that, and I asked about extra costs, and because it really gets busy some of those weeks, to take a little pressure off the front desk, they did bring in one poll worker for a couple of days or a full week. Mm-hmm. You know, so what's that cost? That's $50 a day. It's $150 a day. But giving the taxes our people pay and how much they value that ability to vote early, and a fair number of them vote more than 2 weeks early, you know, I look at that and say it's a positive. And I don't know. I don't know that we would have a reason to weigh in on this. Maybe we just monitor it and see if it comes back up as a possible legislative thing, mm-hmm. and we see, you know, if our legislators would appreciate hearing from us. I understand, I think I understand the larger rationale for this, that maybe some small townships think their people are at a disadvantage because a bigger city can have early voting, you know, they've got the staff to handle it 2 months ahead of time, and that skews results. Probably not, because I think, as Brad and Debbie explained, every municipality has the mail-in voting. You know, if you know you're not going to be able to vote that November, even in those small towns where their clerk's office is maybe only open 3 hours a week, they have that advantage. So I wondered, as a fairness issue, and now that I've looked into it, that's just my personal opinion. But it's not a personal opinion that our voters, you know, that those numbers really surprise me, how big they are, how many come and vote early. There isn't a great history on that because it's fairly new, probably the last 5-10 years. You used to have, if you wanted to come into the town hall and vote ahead of time, you had to request a waiver, right, or permission?
You needed a reason.
Yeah.
That you would be out of town there.
Yeah. And now that we don't done that, it's gone from, you know, almost zero to 2,300 out of 7,200. So that's the trend. And if it comes back again, I think our turnout was great, so we would have some standing to say, here's the example in Alloway. Another thing that's kind of interesting, if it was portrayed as rural Wisconsin conservatives against urban liberals, you know, well, we have two two fairly conservative legislators in this district where we haven't really voted. So that's just something to file away and to watch if it becomes an issue again at the state level. But yeah, no, I was just very impressed with the way we handled it and what a great service to the Alnwick people. So no action, but I'm glad I found out what I found out.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thanks for looking into that. Item number 13, report discussion regarding building report for 2018. Mr. Fuller.
I did provide this to you before the meeting, bringing it out. And this is something that Kevin Whelan, our building inspector, and myself put together. Thanks to the software that he has, we're able to track this. So something that Brad, Kevin, and I have discussed, we wish we had the software sooner. We could have seen more of a trend. But this is taking a look back at the last 3 years since we've had the software. And if you take a look at the top sections of the commercial, you can see that, there is a dip in between the value and the permits between 2017 and 2018. But point of clarification there is in 2017 we had two very large projects. We had the CP Center, which was an $8 million project, and then the renovation of the Oddfellows, which was a $6 million project. So then if you go one line or one category below that, you can see that really between 16, 17, and 18, the number of commercial permits has stayed relatively the same. But so really we're doing good. But just wanted to point out that why there's such a significant difference between the 17 and 18 number. But then also if you look at the 17 or the 18 compared to the 16, it is quite a bit higher still. So then if you go down to the residential permits, you can see they were pretty much staying consistent, same level, for the most part. And, that's pretty much it. I think it's kind of hard to tell just off of three years, any sort of trend or anything like that. So this is more just information than anything. And, as years progress and we keep building on this information, we'll be able to see trends and everything. But like I said earlier, it would have been nice to have this software like coming right out 2008, 2009 to see how drastic it's changed.
Any questions? Trustee Harris.
Would there be, I don't know the amount of time it would take, so there's a balance on the value that we would add to this, but to look back to 2014 and 15 data, because I know we'd have to have something on the permits, just even if it's on the new or the additions, then we would jump from 3 years to five and keep building from there. I don't know how much time and effort it would take to get that information to build manually, because I see how if you're going to do the remodel or the repair, that's several hundred or if you go with 2 years worth of data. So maybe it's just a suggestion.
Yeah, it's something that Kevin and I can look into.
Very good. Any other questions, comments? Thank you very much, Trevor. Moving on, item number 14, any future agenda items that board members would like to see? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 15. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Now people get to go home.